Mothers understand a labor of love, don't they? I mean, think about it. We call the process of them bringing a child into the world labor. And it's a difficult job, right, ladies? I haven't done it myself, okay? But I know that it's a difficult thing. And there ought to be some kind of a joy or blessing that comes after all that trouble, right? After all that difficulty. So moms also get the privilege of watching their kids grow. The blessing of watching them develop. And they're probably, if you're a mom, you probably know what I'm talking about. Dads get to do this too. You get to watch your kids as they start to learn things and laugh at their efforts and their attempts. Get a little chuckle. You go, well, they'll get it someday. They'll work on it. We've had some fun watching our granddaughters grow up. And we're looking forward to the fact that we're going to get a boy soon. So that's my territory. You know, I know how to raise boys. I had two of them. Girls, it's a little bit different, but it's kind of fun to watch our granddaughters as they grow up. And our oldest one, Leah, she's reached this, I guess you would call it a girly stage of life. She's going to be 7 years old this month, and she's decided that it's time for her to figure out, actually she's been working on it for about a year or more now, it's time for her to figure out how to really dress herself up and put on makeup and look pretty. And it's kind of amusing to watch. Because she doesn't always get it in the right place or the right amount. And she struggles with it a little bit. And I try to tell her, Leah, you don't have to do all that. You're beautiful without all of that. You're just such a beautiful girl. No, I really got to look pretty. I got to do this so that I look pretty. You don't understand, Papa. I want to be a fashionista. I'm not sure I even know what that is. Okay? But she's really got this idea that she's got to learn how to do makeup and dress herself up to look pretty. And it's kind of funny, and at the same time, it's kind of sad. Because I realize that we live in a world where women and girls and moms sometimes feel like the only way that they can have really a sense of worth and self-esteem is if they absolutely look like they're on top of everything, looking absolutely the best. They're so attached to the idea of beauty. Can I tell you something? I'm looking out across this room this morning, and what I'm about to say has absolutely nothing to do with physical appearance. When I see moms, I see the most beautiful people on earth. The most beautiful people on earth. Because there is something about a mom's heart. There's something about a mom's role. There's something about a mom's character that really leaves a lasting impression. And there's something about a beautiful, godly mother that stamps an image on the heart of that child and leaves an impression that leaves that child with something that points them in the direction of God. And nothing else really matters. So if we had a beauty pageant this morning for moms, the beauty wouldn't be anything about what your hair looked like or how stylish your clothes are or did you get your makeup just right or how well did you do hiding your wrinkles or changing the color of your hair. It would be how much do you reflect the beauty of Jesus. That's why we sang that song, Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in Me. And can I tell you, if that is happening in your life, you're beautiful. You've already won mom's beauty pageant. If they can see Jesus in you. I want you to look with me at a couple passages of Scripture as we begin our thinking this morning. The first one comes from Proverbs 31. It's a passage you've probably heard many times. It's read often, especially at Mother's Day and other occasions like that. I'm not going to read the entire passage to you. You can read it for yourself. But it's a description of a godly wife and mother. How industrious she is, how devoted she is to her home and her family, how conscientious she is about the needs, not only for today, but for the future, and planning ahead, trying to make sure that everything is in order and everything is cared for, everything is attended to. But among all the wonderful things that it says about this woman, some of the most important, I think, are in the latter verses of the chapter, beginning at verse 28. Her children arise and call her blessed. Do you notice what that's saying? She has left a mark on her household and especially her children. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And this is what he says. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Why? Charm is deceptive. And beauty is fleeting. At least what we think of when it comes to the realm of physical beauty. It's fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned. Let her works praise her at the city gate. Her worth is not in physical beauty. Her worth is in the impression that she makes on the lives of those around her. And if it is a godly impression, that's powerful. That makes all the difference in the world. I want you to look with me now also to the book of 1 Peter. Peter is talking about the role of wives and husbands. And though he doesn't specifically mention mothers here, the idea that you get is that if a woman is a wife, she's also going to be a mother. And whether you're a mother or not, this applies to all women. Listen to what he says, verse 3 of chapter 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment. Now, let me just pause and say, I don't think Peter's saying, don't bother to try and fix yourself up. I don't think he's saying, don't bother to put on makeup. I think what he's saying is, you need to make sure your priority's in the right place. Because it's not the physical appearance that makes the person. It's not the physical appearance that gives you worth. It's the heart. It's the heart. So he says, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as a braided hair or the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. What's God looking at? God's looking at the heart. Scripture says it so clearly. Man looks at the outward appearance. We're trained to do that. We're geared that way, and our culture plays upon that. And everything they throw at us, we get focused on the outward appearance, but that's not what really matters. God looks at the heart, and he says that when God looks at our heart and he sees what is right, what is good, what is of him in us, that's of great worth in God's sight. Women, if people see God in you, and if God can see that his presence and his character is being formed in you, that's where your worth comes from. That's what really matters. He goes on to say, for this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. This is the way the holy women of the past made themselves beautiful, he says. You know, we live in a world, like I said, that prizes physical beauty. And so many people make that the goal of their life. We've got this cultural image put up for us of perfection. You know, it's kind of interesting because if you look down through the pages of history, that image changes a little bit from time to time, which makes me think that, well, then they haven't really figured it out, have they? You know? But they keep trying to tell us what is perfect and what it takes to make us perfect. And we have it paraded for us across the screens of our TV and across the pages of magazines and even on billboards driving down the highway. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to look at like. This is what is beautiful. And so many people look at that and say, I can't compete with that. I can't meet that standard. I can't measure up. And can I tell you, when you're a mother, you don't have time for all that. When you're trying to take care of your home and your kids, you don't have time to dress yourself up every day. You got housework to do. Time to go to the gym or time to do this or that. Sometimes moms just need a little mom time. And they crave just to get a little bit of mom time to get away from all the busyness just so they could relax for just a little bit. They don't have time for all that. And sometimes I'm afraid there's so many, especially when they become mothers. I feel like, well, I did such a good job of trying to make myself look good before, and now I just don't have time for it. And they worry. They're afraid. I won't be attractive anymore. I won't be desired anymore. I don't really have the worth that I had anymore. Can I tell you, that's not what matters. What matters is who you are as a person. Now, I'm not saying don't try. I'm not saying go home and throw all your makeup out. Throw out all your jewelry. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying don't think that that is the thing that gives you worth or value. The thing that gives you worth or value is the character that you are developing as a godly woman and the influence you have across the home. Mothers have a challenge. The devotion of caring for the family makes it so hard. But a godly mother becomes a living example of the beauty of God's grace and God's goodness. And that's real beauty that doesn't come from a bottle, it doesn't come from a tube, it doesn't come from a surgical procedure, and it doesn't come from Photoshop. This is real beauty. A beauty that comes from God's presence. So moms, can I encounter and challenge you this morning to embrace the real beauty you have? The real beauty that you already have if you're a woman of God? And the first thing I want you to remember is this, that real beauty is an inside job, not an outside job. Real beauty is an inside job. It's what's going on the inside. You know, like I said, we have this tendency to focus on human appearance. I was curious as I was thinking about this and preparing for the message. I'm thinking, you know, there's all kinds of stuff advertised. I mean, you turn on the TV, you look at magazines or whatever. I mean, you're just bombarded with cosmetics and jewelry and clothes and all this stuff to make you look attractive. And I'm wondering, how expensive does that get? I mean, if you're really trying to keep up with the program, how expensive does it get? So I did a little research, and I discovered there have been a lot of studies done in recent years over that. I don't know why, but I thought it might, maybe, I guess it was probably for marketing purposes. They want to know where the money is or where the money's being spent so they know what to target, so they can get a bit of it. And so different studies that I read, they were all looking at maybe different things. They weren't all looking at the same thing, but they all came to one conclusion. People spend a lot of money trying to look good. They spend a lot of money on cosmetics. They spend a lot of money on gym memberships. They spend a lot of money on surgical procedures, you know, lift the eyes, get rid of the extra chin, whatever. Just to try and make yourself, and they spend a lot of money doing all this stuff. And if you look at the results, and like I said, the studies varied about what they were actually looking at, but when I started looking at all the ones that I was comparing, I said, I came to one conclusion. They spend enough money trying to look good, you could probably put one of your kids through college. Buy a new car, maybe even a new home for what this costs. And guys, just so that you know, you're not off the hook either, men are almost as bad. We just don't spend it on makeup. We do it in other ways. Gym memberships or, you know, stylish clothes or maybe a fancy car because that makes us look good, you know. Whatever. We're almost as bad. See, we tend to devote more time and expense to the outward appearance than we do to the heart and what really matters. We spend more time trying to look good in the eyes of others than to become good in the eyes of God, to be what God wants us to be. And we're bombarded with these messages that make us put our attention in that direction. And we assess our self-worth on how attractive we are, how good we look to those around us. And we need to be striving for something different. And godly moms know that if you're striving to be godly in character, to become a beautiful person who you are in Christ, you have already won the beauty war. Because your kids don't care what color your hair is or if you've got your makeup just right. They care if you're mom. That's what really makes a difference. Just to put this in perspective for you, the book of Proverbs is full of all kinds of rich words of wit and wisdom. I thought this one was kind of interesting. Now, if I'm looking for things I want to put on the church sign, I'm not necessarily going to use the Proverbs for all of them, because some of them really hit pretty hard, and somebody might get offended, like this one. Proverbs chapter 11, 22. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout. Just picture that. A gold ring in a pig's snout. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Wow. They look good, if you can call a gold ring in a pig's snout looking good, but it doesn't change who you are. And you have to understand that to the people of God reading that, a pig's snout, that's an unclean animal. Putting a gold ring in a pig's snout doesn't make an unclean pig clean. And you can dress yourself up on the outside and make yourself look good, but if your heart's not right, it makes no difference. Because what you people see on the outside is not the real you. It's what's happening on the inside. That's the real you. You know, you've heard the expression, you can't put lipstick on a pig. Well, I suppose you could. But do you think it would make the pig look any better? No, it would probably just make the pig look silly. You can't, it doesn't change the pig from being a pig. Now, I'm not saying, again, don't try to dress yourself up and look nice. But if you think that's going to make you, it doesn't. Focus on what really matters. It's an inside job. Your character is the thing that really leaves a lasting impact on others and on the lives that you touch. What do you want to be known for? What do you want to be remembered for? What kind of impression do you want to leave? What kind of person do you want to be? What kind of character do you want to model for your kids? If you're a godly mother, you want to model God's character. You want to point them in the direction of God. You want to point them in the direction of holiness and purity and perfection in God's sight, not in man's. And the reality is physical beauty fades over time. And as the more it fades, the more money we spend trying to hide the changes and look like we did when we were younger. We can't stop the changes of time. But godly beauty does not require us to chase after all that surface stuff. It only requires us to seek after God, to seek His character, to seek His goodness in our life. Chasing after God is the thing that brings real beauty. And if you're chasing physical beauty while neglecting God, it's like trying to swim upstream against the current of the river. And eventually you get to the point where you just can't keep up with the current anymore, and you're just flailing for all you're worth, trying to go upstream, and you're just carried along backwards. So if you're trying to chase beauty, the more upstream in life you get, the harder it gets. And you'll wear yourself out on something that really doesn't matter. Chase after God. You can't stop the aging process, but you can stop the things that influence you away from the truth and away from God. You can stop the things that interfere with your character development and say, I'm going to start devoting more time and more effort to my relationship with Jesus because that's what really matters to me. Besides, if you're looking forward to spending all of eternity with Him, it might be a good idea to get to know Him now. So how much are you spending on the inner beauty? Because beauty is an inside job. Secondly, I want you to know that real beauty, if it's taking place in your life, it begins to display something. Real beauty on the inside begins to be manifested on the outside. Not in physical appearance, like I said, but in the things that you do that leave an impression on your life. Notice what the proverb writer said. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And her husband praises her. You know, it's kind of interesting. Every once in a while, you'll see photographs of famous celebrities. And somehow it seems to be a pet project of some of those out there in the media. They want to see what they look like without their makeup on. So they want to get a picture of whoever this glamorous star is without their makeup. And they catch them in a moment when they don't realize anybody's around and the cameras are going. And they catch them without makeup. And I've noticed something. They look pretty normal to me. They look pretty normal. They don't really look any different than anybody else. So I just want to say this to you ladies. You know, you're worried so hard trying to keep up with that impression of beauty that you see on these glamorous models and actresses and everything else. Without their makeup, they look just like you. There's not really any difference. They're just ordinary people. If they're a similar age, they look pretty much similar to you. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes makeup helps. But that doesn't change who they are. Doesn't make a difference. What really does make a difference is when the way you conduct your life leaves a mark of goodness and grace on people's lives. I've known so many people done over the years that probably they would never win an award for glamour or style or physical beauty or perfection. But I can tell you they're some of the most beautiful people to be around. And I love spending time with those people because they show goodness and grace and care and God's character. A godly woman and mother who devotes herself to being a real person of God leaves a lasting mark that people will see. It leaves an impression. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter gives a list of characteristics that ought to be present in every believer's life. And certainly if a mother's a believer, these ought to be present in her life too. Beginning at verse 5, he says, for this very reason, let me back up, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Can I tell you, God has given you, ladies, everything you need. Everything you need to live a life of godliness through your knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. You may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what he's saying is, these are the character qualities that ought to be present in your life. And if they are present there, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. You might think you're not accomplishing anything. You might not think you're doing enough. You might not think you're making it all work. But if you're doing these things, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. You're making an impression. You're showing God's goodness and God's grace in the way you go about even the mundane things of caring for your home. Looking after your husband. Because I just have to confess, I'm going to confess for all husbands out there. All right? I know you're not bold enough to do it. So I'm going to do it for you. We're just big kids. And our wives have become the replacement for mom. Okay, I said it, all right? You feel any better? But you know, when a woman and a godly mother is busy tending to her home, showing love, care, compassion, giving counsel. I've got a coffee mug. You've heard me talk about it before, probably, if you've been around for a while. When my oldest son, my first son, was born, Jonathan, people I worked for gave me this coffee mug as a gift, the birth of my first child. It's just a simple coffee mug. It has words on it. It says, New Daddy. It's my most precious possession. Honestly. I keep it up in the cabinet. Every once in a while, I get it out and use it. But most of the time, I don't want to risk breaking it, so I leave it up there. You go, well, you're not a new daddy anymore. Oh, yes, I am. Because I've discovered something. As my children grow and age, my role in their life changes. The kind of counsel that I need when they come to me, and occasionally, though I can't really understand why, they still come to me looking for counsel, looking for support, looking for encouragement. And that cup reminds me that this is always new to me, and I've got to be seeking a counsel and a wisdom I don't have if it were not for God. And mothers probably have to do that more often than dads do. Because for some reason, they like talking to mom more than they like talking to dad. Maybe it's because mom just seems more compassionate. Dads can be so blunt, you know, just lay it on the line. This is the way it is. Moms have a softer touch. And moms need to be able to give that godly counsel and that godly wisdom. And it reflects in the way that they give their counsel to their kids. God's presence in their life. A life of devotion to God translates into a life of being more devoted in your home and in your family. And a life that is alert to the spiritual influences that can bring corruption, can introduce influences that might tend towards sin. A mom who is alert to the things of God is alert to those influences and kind of stands as a safeguard against those things entering into the home. All those things are vitally important. And it takes the real beauty of God's presence and God's goodness, the beauty of Christ in their life, to be able to do those things well. But if you're chasing after God and His presence is coming in your life, you're bringing goodness and grace into everything you do. And your home is different because of it. So be faithful. Be diligent. And last thing I want to say about this, and this is an important one. This is one beauty you don't have to worry about ever fading as long as you're diligent. In fact, notice what Peter said in 2 Peter. If you're doing these things, you can even do them with increasing measure. As time goes by, we sang that chorus a little bit ago, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All His wonderful passion and purity. If that is your desire and that's your pursuit, as you go through life, you take on more and more the image of Christ, more and more His beauty, and it's a beauty that never fades. It just gets stronger over time. In 2000, we built a house for ourselves, for our family, down in Spring Hill. We still own the house. We've got some people living in it right now that we rented it out to. We still consider that to be our home. We're hanging on to it. We raised our kids there. We have a lot of memories there. And when we built that house, we built it the way we wanted it, including choosing the paint scheme that we thought was very attractive and would just suit our taste. So we painted this house kind of a dusty blue color with a deep red kind of a maroonish kind of shutters and white trim. We thought the house looked very beautiful. Now, I'm not original. I got the idea for that paint scheme off of a sample card that was in the hardware store that I liked. I said, that's the color we want for our house. So we painted our house those colors, and we were so pleased with the way our house looked. But then something began to happen. The Florida sun and weather started taking its toll, and that dusty blue turned into more of a chalky gray. In fact, and Sid would understand this because he knows what happens with paint on houses in Florida. It started coming off of the house. It wasn't even sticking anymore. There were parts where you couldn't really tell it was painted at all. The gray block was showing through. And it needed a new cover-up, a new coat of paint. But you know, you put a new coat of paint on, you know what's going to happen? Over time, it's going to need painted again. Sid made a career out of repainting houses that kept fading. It fades over time. But if the presence of Christ is there and you're continually pursuing Him in your life, that beauty is magnified over time, gets stronger and stronger. You can have an even bigger impression and a bigger mark for God's goodness and God's grace as a grandmother or great-grandmother even than you did as a mother. Because more and more the beauty of Jesus is flowing into your life. And that's a beauty that never fades. Godly mothers grow in beauty over time as you take more and more the character of Christ. And it doesn't depend on physical features. It leaves an impression at any age. It brings you praise no matter where you go. Put on Christ, and you're developing a beauty that can conquer the passage of time. And that's what your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your husband, and your family and friends will always treasure. That's what they'll remember more than what they remember what you look like, because that's what matters. So moms, if you're a godly mom, you have already won the beauty pageant. Keep up the good work. Grow in it. Grow in it. When you carry out that devotion and attention to God's ways, you're a winner.